Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we travel once again back to ancient Rome for a tale of ridiculous wealth, hyperbolic flattery, and brazen social climbing so relentless that we come to realize that being surrounded by sycophants really isn't all it's caked up to be. I mean, cracked up to be. Uncle Will penned his, and some contend with a little help from Thomas Middleton, The Life and Times of Timon of Athens, but better known simply as Timon of Athens, sometime around 1606, but it wouldn't get its proper stage debut for some 58 years after his death in 1674, and actually that was an adaptation of Uncle Will's work by one Thomas Shadwell, who renamed it The History of Timon of Athens, The Man-Hater. But back to William's story. We meet Timon in Athens, of all places, who is a host of legendary generosity, lavishing his fortunes on a veritable parade of puerile sycophants, proving that excessive generosity is often just a roundabout way to make friends, or so he thinks. In a twist of fate, which really isn't a twist, Timon's excessive generosity and his blind belief in loyalty leads him to the brink of financial disaster. As Timon's coffers run dry, so do his so-called friends, who have been using him pretty much as a human ATM. When he looks to them for help, they all suddenly develop a severe case of selective amnesia. In Act 2, Scene 2, as he reels from the revelation of his impending bankruptcy, Timon reflects on the ingratitude and hard-heartedness of his freeloading friends with his trusty servant, Flavius, not quite fully grasping the seriousness of the situation, and he tells the concerned courtier that it's not really a big deal, saying that their ingratitude is actually part of their nature.
"Prithee, man, look cheerily. These old fellows have their ingratitude in them hereditary. Their blood is caked, 'tis cold, it seldom flows. 'Tis lack of kindly warmth, they are not kind. And nature, as it grows again toward earth, is fashioned for the journey, dull and heavy. Go to Ventidius. Prithee, be not sad. Thou art true and honest. Ingeniously I speak, no blame belongs to thee."
Changing the scrummy noun cake to the verb form, Uncle Will, in a very simple but powerful way, lays out how Timon will come to see the world in light of this enormous betrayal, a world filled with moral and emotional decay, where the blood that runs in people's veins isn't cold, as in cold-blooded from King John, but caked, stagnant, hardened, and absolutely incapable of warmth, just like, dare I say, their hearts, like stone, incapable of kindness. This in many ways encapsulates Timon's, or is it William's, disillusionment with human nature. I actually wonder what was going on in London in 1605. Uncle Will also gives us a little precursor of what is to come for Timon. He eventually descends into bitterness and misanthropy and lives out his life in the forest. And just as he describes his friend's blood as caked and their nature dull, Timon himself will soon himself be caked, that is, with the mud and filth of the wilderness, as he abandons society altogether. So apparently, you cannot have your new word usage and eat it. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.